as we welcome in former Oiler and the newest member of the Oilers Hall of Fame, Charlie Huddy. Good morning, Charlie.
Morning. How we doing?
Sounds like you're in the garage tuning up the bike for the road trip, or what's going on?
I'm getting ready for it soon, yeah.
When's the last time you had a chat with your old buddy Grant?
Been a while, I think.
Well, Fierzy, here you go.
Yeah, been a while, Fierzy.
It's been a day or two.
Fierzy lost my phone number, apparently.
Does that happen quite often, Grant?
Yeah.
No, I don't wander back to the city as much as I'd like to. Mm.
Yeah, no, I know. I guess when you're golfing in Palm Springs all winter, it's not bad.
You know what? It's not a bad thing. Yeah. You'd enjoy it down here. No, you can ride your bike year-round.
I know. I hear you.
Maybe not in the summer. It's a little warm for a bike ride here.
Yeah, too hot in the summer for sure.
I'm sure Charlie would figure something out, head out on a little trip for sure.
Yeah, that's right. He would.
Yeah, Charlie Huddy with us on Sports 1440. Well, Charlie, you were at the game last night, and nice little intro on the Jumbotron until that guy stood up in front of you and blocked you out.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That boy, he felt so bad, that guy. He must have turned around like 15 times because he had no idea, right? You know what it's like, go to the games, and as soon as you see the camera coming near you, everybody's jumping and whatever and stuff like that. So he had no idea, but he was apologetic. I said, okay, you know, it's fine. It happens. Hey, don't worry about it. It's all good.
That was funny. What'd you make of the game last night, Charlie?
Well, it was a pretty solid game by Edmonton, obviously. I thought LA started really good. I thought it was going to be a lot closer than it was. I mean, they came out and they had a game plan early. They were getting pucks deep and they were on the body and they caused some turnovers, and they defended well for a bit until Edmonton got going and got their legs. I think, you know, sometimes when you start out at home, that first 5 or 10 minutes, you'd like to be going the other way. And sometimes you're just a little on edge and you don't make the plays you want to play and you get some turnovers and stuff like that. And the other team knows that, you know, LA knows that if once Edmonton gets that puck, that they're going to start coming hard at them and getting it deep and getting in and on them. So they kind of reverse the roles for, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes. And then Edmonton kind of just moved forward from there.
Yeah. Grant, you want to get Charlie's perspective on something that you saw last night as well?
Actually, from the other night, how about the Jets-Colorado little defensive struggle?
Yeah, that was
fun. How happy would you be coaching that?
Yeah, that would have been fun. I wasn't expecting Hellebuck to give up six. I think they had, what was the stat? The other guy had 38 wins and Bucky had 37 wins, and then they go out there and it's last shot on net wins and it's 7-6. Like, it was just like, oh my God. I mean, they, you know what, both teams got some firepower though. The Jets got some good offense out of those, the guys that they got there with Scheifele and Connor and Nicky Ehlers and, you know, Toffoli and those guys. And obviously the other side with McKinnon and Rantanen. And those, I mean, it's just, anytime they get a chance in around that net or in that slot area, you know what, there's a good chance it's going to go in. I mean, you know, the goalie's got to be making some five bell saves when those guys get that puck in the danger area.
Yeah. What would you have said? You were in Winnipeg 10 years with a lot of those guys, Charlie. What would you have said to them, you know, after that game and that defense core, and what would you say to them heading into game two tonight?
You know what? I think it's just it's a one-off game. You don't want to see that happen in the playoffs because you're not going to win a lot of games when you're giving up six. I think they've got to move the puck a little bit quicker. I think they got caught a couple times, their defense holding on to it too long. I mean, Sandberg tries to come around the net and turns it over, and you can't do that if you're going to win games. I mean, Colorado's got some speed up front. They're going to get on you, and they've got, you know, they got good sticks. They're going to knock some pucks down. So I think the biggest thing is just getting back as quick as you can and getting back and getting that puck moved up to the forwards without looking to make the hard play. Just sometimes, you know what, we always used to say, sometimes around the boards isn't a bad play. If you got nothing, it's better than going up the middle and causing a turnover and then maybe end up in the back of your net. At least you can fight the battle along the wall with your wingers and stuff. You know what, wingers don't like it because they like to get the puck nice and clean and have some speed and get going, but sometimes that option's not there. So I think they just got to, you know, and it, it gets back to it's the same thing, right? It's the defense, but it's the five guys out on the ice. You know, lots of times, I know when I was there, it was like, well, the D zone coverage is, you know, is bad. Like, you know, what are they doing, the defense? Or, well, it's just not the two guys back there. It's five guys out on the ice. The two defensemen can't cover five guys. So you need some help from the forward sometimes. But, you know, I think they'll be all right. Their defense is, they're good. They've got guys back there that can skate with Morrissey and those guys, Pionk and stuff. So they'll be okay.
Yeah. Grant?
Like good old-fashioned Smythe division defense.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it was looking like. Want to make the perfect play and want to get up there and score every time we can.
Yeah. You guys never had games like that. You guys never had games like that, did you?
Yeah, no. Would Kopf say, Fierzy, no money in defense, right?
Yeah, how about Kopf as a defensive specialist now?
Yeah, no, I know. Hey, Jesus, that's pretty good. I didn't see that one coming, but you know what? Good for him. He's earned those guys' respect back there. They know the kind of player that he was, and they're going to, when he's talking to them, they're going to pay attention. He knows the game, and he understands what it takes to win. And those guys are listening to him, and they've improved a lot over the last little while. The one guy for me that's gotten a lot better, and he was just a young guy, is Desharnais. I mean, I think at the start of the year he was just okay, you know, and now he's turned into a solid defenseman. You know, there's a couple of flaws here and there, but yeah. Overall, you know what, he's a big, strong body and good on the penalty kill, blocking shots, not afraid to get into it and get a little physical, which you need during the playoffs.
Charlie Huddy with us on Sports 1440, Kevin Carey show with Grant Fuhr. Grant brought it up in the sense of Paul Coffey. And when he got hired, Charlie, you heard everyone in town going, what are they hiring Paul Coffey for? You know, what are they moving him into an assistant coaching job for? But the job that he has done is simply remarkable. Can you just address that and what you thought about it at the time, and then now what you see, what he's accomplished here for the last several months?
Yeah, you know what? I was kind of shocked that he wanted to do it. I mean, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of time, but you know what? He's got a passion for the game, and it's everybody doubted it because it's not easy to have not coached in the NHL and then just walk into a team, or not even coming out of, like, say, the American League or whatever case, and having, you know, gotten down there and, you know, whatever, learned the new systems that are in and, you know, matchups and things like that. It's not that easy, you know? So I think that's why a lot of people doubted him, because he was obviously a great Hall of Fame player, but never stood behind the bench. So people maybe had question marks on that, but you know what? You've got all that experience. You understand the game. Like I said before, you got the respect of the six guys that are playing back there for you. So you'll be able to, you know, guide them through. And it's, you know, I'm sure the other coaches helped them out. Mark Stewart's a great guy. Mm-hmm. Had him in Winnipeg, just a real solid, solid individual that played hard every night and battled as hard as he could to, you know, to stay in the game every night. So I'm sure Coff's learned a lot from those guys. And again, you know, as you go through it, you get, you get a few games under your belt, you get some confidence, and then you just kind of go from there. So he's done a great job.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Grant?
I thought Coff's been really good. Charlie must have rubbed off on him a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was the old line? You take care of the corners, I got the front of the net.
Yeah, yeah. You work both corners, I'll just stay here in front of the net.
You didn't stay there very often.
Show Slats how hard you can work and show me you really want to be here and play in the NHL. It's like, okay.
Oh,
well.
Charlie Huddy with us on Sports 1440. You did mention Vinny Desharnais, Charlie. And just what do you make of his... You know, evolution as a player, where he came, you know, at the start of the year, he grabbed that number six job and just did not want to let go of it. But even just, you know, prior to that, you know, being out east and, you know, going to the minors, and it's just been a long, successful road for him so far.
Yeah, you know what? It's, I mean, you can just tell. I talked to him one day there. There was a function, and we were in the room. A real nice guy. I had a good long conversation with him, just kind of a general conversation, but you could just tell that it's something that that is in his blood, and he wants to play in the NHL, and he wants to stick around, and he's gonna give everything that he's got to do that. You know, as he got the skill of a Bouchard or some of those guys, you know what? No, but he's got stuff that those guys don't have. He's a big body. He plays hard. I mean, you know what? I think his stick's gotten a lot better. I mean, it sounds like a crazy little thing, but when you're playing defense, you guys got to realize how much that stick is important, and how much it can save you. You know, like, I mean, even last night, Ekholm made a couple of plays, that one coming back and knocked it down and knocked it again out of the zone. So little things like that, but I think he's improved on that. And I think that, and you know, going back and making some plays, I think that's improved. And you know what, that just comes from confidence, and you know, Koff putting him out there. I'm sure Koff's talked to him a lot, Koff putting him out there in certain situations, and he's got the respect of Paul, you know. And he's just you know what, you like guys like that to succeed, because you know that it's in his blood, and he just wants to stick around. He's going to give you everything he's got at the end of the night. When he gets into that dressing room, there's not going to be a whole lot left in him. You know, he's going to leave everything on the ice. And you know what? You at the end of the day, those are the guys that you win with.
Mm-hmm. Grant.
All right, Charlie, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Oh.
So I know. Why is it that defensive defensemen don't get any votes for the Norris?
Hmm. Yeah, good question, Piercy. I really don't know. You know, it's just like, It's all about the points. I think part of it is just the skill of it. I mean, like, you look at Hughes in Vancouver, the way he moves along the blue line, and the, you know, getting into the open and being able to get a shot through, and you know, the speed that he's got and things like that. And I mean, that's what draws the attention to people, right? And it's, you know, it's the other side of it is your defensive defenseman. People aren't really looking at, well, he's not a very skilled guy. Oh, he's back there, yeah, he's blocking shots and defending the net well, or, you know, battling in the corners hard and things like that. But, you know what, yeah, it just, you're right, it goes unnoticed. You know, like, someday you'd like to see a guy that's, you know, that's battled and had a good season, had maybe whatever, I don't know, 25, 30, 40 points, you know, and battled hard every night and you know, has been a good, solid player. But I'm gonna guess that's not going to happen anytime soon. Yeah, you gotta have a little fancy in your game, I guess.
And, well, and you know what, Charlie? Do you remember? Well, you won the Emory Edge Award back in '83.
Yeah,
that was for plus minus.
Yeah, plus minus. Yeah, I think Gretz is still mad at me at that, because he said that he was like, he said it was miscalculated or something. Should have been like plus 64 or something.
So you were plus 62.
62, yeah. And I think he got in at 59 or 60 or something like that. And it was just like, I go, okay, you got every other troll. Like, you know, like, how about let somebody else get something different? You know? Like,
yeah, let someone else win something.
Yeah, it was just a slug back playing defense get a chance. But you know what, it was an honor. I mean, it's, you know, it's the same. Everybody says, well, it's not a great stat because you just get out on the ice and you didn't do anything, but you got a plus for that. Or I just got out on the ice and I didn't do anything and I got a minus. But I said, you know what, it's a stat they keep. That's kind of where the stats started, all the stuff that we've gotten into right now. And I said, you know what, at the end of the day, when I'm trying to get a new contract or sign with a new team, it looks a lot better at plus 62 than it does minus 62. Mm-hmm. You know, taking the stat the way you want to take it. I'm not going to be able to argue that, well, you know what, I wasn't really involved in 30 of those goals, so I should only be like minus 32 instead of minus 60. You know what I mean? Like, people. So, but anyways, you know what, it was an honor to be able to win that. And very fortunate.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Charlie, you were, you know, in the stands yesterday. You're in down in Ice District before. Can you just describe what you see down there when you go to a playoff game, and compare it to, you know, how you felt when you were playing in all the great games in the 80s when you had the fan support that you had?
Yeah, you know what, it was unreal to see. I mean, back in the old rink, I mean, they didn't have that area, the Ice District, mm-hmm. and stuff for people to gather. And obviously the rink wasn't near as big, but it was pretty damn loud in there once it got going. And, you know, it's a great atmosphere. I mean, we all know what the fans are like in Edmonton. They're diehard Oilers fans, and they live and breathe hockey every day. And you can tell when they get down there, they're just all fired up and they're ready. I mean, for people to go down there, like I was down there at around 6:15, I think it was, when the game didn't start to what, 8:15 or 8:20, whatever time it actually got going. But there was a lot of people already down there, and I'm thinking, man, these people are going to be standing from now until about 11 o'clock or whatever time that game ends. Like, that's a long, but you know what? They enjoy it. And it looked like everybody was having a good time by the time I left at 7:30 or whatever time I got out of the ice district at. But it's such a great atmosphere. And then you get into the rink and it's the same thing. I mean, that building's loud. I mean, I'm sure it's loud when you're sitting in the stands, but I'm sure when you're down on the bench and down on the ice, it's at times it gets real loud. You can really feed off of the energy of the fans. But again, we all know what the fans are like, and it gives the players energy, and it's just a great atmosphere to be in.
Fierzy, you got one more for your buddy Chuck?
Yeah. So Charlie, when are you getting back into coaching?
Yeah, I'm done, Fierzy, I think. I'm like you. I got me and Karen went to down to Yuma, Arizona, in the middle of November, and we just got back last week. And I'm kind of like you. You know what? It wasn't bad. The weather was pretty good. And I've been in the cold weather and then the snow for about whatever 40 years or whatever. So it's nice. It's nice to get out. And we got a motorhome. We drove that down, and we sit out in front. I got a TV on it, and we sit out there and watch the Oilers games. The place that we're staying at, there's probably, I don't know, 65% of the P. It's not a very big place, like 450 spots and stuff, but probably 65% of the people are from Alberta. So it's there's a lot of oil country down in Yuma too. So it was good. So I guess to answer your question, Jersey, probably done. You know what? I had a good run. I did it for 20 whatever years, you know, and I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's like you miss being around the rink, going down to practice and being in there, and then you get into the action of the game. You miss that part of it. But, you know, I know people realize the hours that you put into coaching. You just don't get to the rink at 9 o'clock and put a practice together and then go out and practice for an hour and then get home at 1 o'clock. I mean, it's a lot of hours. There's lots of mornings where you're down there at the rink at, you know, at 6 o'clock, and you don't get out of there till 5 or 6 at night, you know, putting the game together for the next game, or putting a game plan or doing video and stuff, getting ready for teams. And especially in the playoffs, it's a grind, but you know what? I enjoyed it for the time that I did it. And, I don't have time to relax and just sit back and watch it as a fan.
Hey Charlie, if the Oilers don't have Stanley Cup success, and it, as you know, no one has to tell you this, how hard it is to win the Stanley Cup, but what would it mean, I guess, to Winnipeg and even yourself being there for, you know, a good decade to see the Jets have some really, really solid playoff success here?
Yeah, you know what? It would be good. I mean, I know I enjoyed my time there, like you said, and they've got good ownership there, and I know they had their struggles through the season getting fans in the building. And you know what? Hopefully the playoff run will reintroduce the fans and the excitement back into the game. And hopefully they'll draw well next year. And you know, let's see how far they go. I mean, it's they've got a pretty good, well balanced team. And with the exception of last game, Hellebuck is a pretty good goalie. I mean, he's got a chance probably to win the Vezina, I think. And you know, he's you know what it's like. We got Fierzy and Andy Moog back there, and if you got a good goaltender, you've got a good chance of going out and winning every game. And you know, that's why we were successful. I always said we had great players, but you need that one last guy to make that big save for you when it's 3-2 and there's, you know, 5 minutes to go, and the goalie makes a big save for you. You know, that's what you need, and Hellebuck can do that for sure.
Hey, Charlie, thanks so much for this. Get that Harley tuned up.
Okay, yeah, we'll get her going. Okay, we'll talk to you. See if yours, enjoy that hot weather coming at you.
Oh, yeah. It's always good down here when it's warm. We'll see you soon, Chuck.
Okay, see you, buddy.